All right, good morning, church. Thank you, Grant, for that worship and leading us in the praise of God together. Thank you, Garen, the young man who we saw little, but now he's not little, but not just in stature, but in faith. And in maturity in Christ. Reading a wonderful passage of Scripture that just should make us so thankful that we have a loving God who knows us deeply. He knows you now, and He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knitted you together. He formed you. He saw your unformed substance. All the days He had planned for you were marked out. They were written down in His book. And He loves you. Today's a special day. We get to grab one of these baby bottles and take them home with us, and for the next 6 weeks, we fill them up with change. And then 6 weeks from now, we bring them back and we take them down to help support the ministry of the Hope Pregnancy Clinic in Salem. We call it the baby bottle boomerang. They send them out and then they come back filled, a lot heavier, by the way, hopefully. And my prayer is that we'll not just be filled with change, but with $100 bills. I'm not joking here. And checks, maybe bigger than a $100 bill, to support this ministry. Because literally, this partnership that we're doing with the Hope Pregnancy Center is a matter of life and death. And I'm proud that we're partnering with this in our church. You know, 3 years ago, a high school teenage girl came to the elders and said, "I'd like to see us maybe get involved here with this ministry." And the elders said, "Tell us more." And so she told them more, and then they went down to the Hope Pregnancy Center and took a tour of this ministry and came out of that saying, "Yes, as a church, we are going to get involved with this ministry." And so we've been doing this for the last 2 years. And we've usually taken a moment to kind of talk briefly about it and say, "Go out and bring these bottles back with money in them." But this year I'm not going to do that. This year, I want us to dig deep down into why we're supporting this ministry. I mean, really, why? And I want to take some time this morning from the Word of God to say, this is why we're supporting this ministry. And I hope and I pray, and I've been praying for us, that we will go away from here inspired to be part of something that is at God's heart and that should be at our heart as well. The topic of abortion is one of the most divisive issues in American culture today. One of the reasons is that since the Roe v. Wade decision in 73 that legalized abortion, abortion rights have been linked directly with other sensitive issues of privacy rights, sexual revolution, individual liberties, and women's rights. And on top of that, the two major political parties have starkly different approaches to the question, spelled out clearly in their political party platforms. So rather than being this bipartisan moral question that people can wrestle with, It has become politicized, and that has been part of the reason for the divisiveness. And the debates and the arguments rage on in our culture, and new court cases come to Supreme Court. But all the while, in that 50-year period or 42-year period, 50 million lives have been taken due to abortion. 50 million. Today, I'd like to take this opportunity to speak to the question of why are we supporting hope? Why are we taking the time and the energy and the money to do this? So that we can have a stronger conviction regarding this question, and so that we can be excited and diligent in our support of this ministry. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you now, and we seek for your understanding today, that you will come and join us in this place in a special way as we think and reflect on the issue of abortion in our culture and what we can do to be salt and light on that question. Please come and be with us and open our hearts, soften our hearts, and give us understanding. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. Standing with hope. You know, the short answer to why we're standing with hope, why are we partnering with hope, is because it's one of the most effective ways to reduce the number of abortions in our local community. Abortion snuffs out human life in the womb before it has the chance to see the light of day. And it happens more than 1 million times a year in our country, 6,000 times per year in Oregon, and nearly 400 times in Marion and Polk counties alone. And as I mentioned, this is a divisive and controversial issue in our broader society. But I want to bear witness today to you that it should not be a controversy within the body of Christ. This moral question should not be a controversy. From the beginning, Christians have stood against abortion and for life. Did you know that the Greco-Roman culture practiced abortion a lot? It was common. They had drugs for it. They did it a lot. They not only did they do that, but if you didn't like the baby when it was born, you could legally get rid of it and set it out to the trash. But Christians were known from the earliest days as people who would say no to abortion, and we don't do that, and the kids that you throw out, we'll go take them in. They were known for this, and the earliest Christian teachings, the handbooks about morals and ethics, explicitly taught that Christians do not practice abortion. And so, from that time, Christians have always said the same thing. It's a consistent witness of the Christian faith. But what is it in the Bible that has pointed Christians consistently to this place? Bible believers to this place. The Bible speaks to a myriad of moral questions, some of which are addressed directly and at length, others which are dealt with more sporadically and at no great length, but still spoken to. And when it comes to the issue of abortion in the Bible, it is of the second kind. It's spoken of sporadically here and there. There is no long extended discussion of it. But there is biblical testimony that has always led followers of Christ to adamantly oppose abortion. Some of those passages I will walk through this morning a little bit. Exodus chapter 21 in the Law of Moses provides protection for the unborn child by, in the law, giving punishments and penalties for those who might harm the unborn child. Chapter 21, verse 22, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You see, even the law of Moses, there are protections given for the unborn child, pointing to its personhood, pointing toward its value. We also see in the birth narratives of Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 some hints at and points to the fact that the unborn child is a child. In verse 34, when Mary has been brought, the angel comes and says, "You're going to bear the Son of the living God." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your cousin, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, who has conceived a son, and this is his sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Clearly, the unborn Jesus, the incarnation, the unborn Jesus is truly a human. The incarnation of God in flesh didn't happen when he was born, but when he was conceived. And we also see later on in the story, I won't read it now, but do you remember the delightful story of when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth? And the child leaps in her womb and she says, "Wow, he leapt for joy," almost as if he's giving his first moment of prophecy as a 6-month baby in the womb, saying, "This is somebody special that's come into my presence." Elizabeth points out, these things all point to the personhood and life in the womb as a real life, not just a piece of tissue that eventually at some point will become life, but life in the womb. And then the passage that Garen read for us, Psalm 139, that as a church we've been reading this week and reflecting upon, and that some of our life groups will be thinking about tonight. It's one of the several of the Psalms that points to and marvels at God's creation and His knowledge of us. How there's nothing that He doesn't know, and He knows everything about us, the psalmist says. And in chapter 139, verses 13 through 16, he brings it all together, and I'll read it again. "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." You see, God knows us and values us in our mother's womb. God fashions us, knits us together in that place, and we are to be amazed at the development of the child in the womb. And everything in this section of Scripture points to the value and dignity and personhood of the unborn child, which bears the image of the living God and draws His eye because He cares about that life in the womb. So these are some of the explicit passages of the Scriptures that point us toward a pro-life position to oppose abortion. But I think even stronger is just the general biblical teaching about life. I mean, the Bible speaks with glorious, rapturous language about the coming birth of a child. Children are always seen as a blessing from God. Not a curse, not something to get rid of because it's in your way or a barrier to your happiness. It's a blessing from God. Psalm 127, a famous passage that some have often applied to me, says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Right? Got 6 of them in my quiver, right? "Shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." In chapter 128, Psalm 128, verse 3, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like the olive shoots in your table." These are the things that happen to those that God's favor is upon. So children are a blessing. And when you can't have children, when your womb is closed, when you're barren in the Bible, it's always a negative thing. It's always something people mourn about. Whether it's Sarah, or whether it's Hannah, or whether it's Elizabeth in the New Testament, it's something to bemoan. Because life is to be received And it's a joyous thing. We see also the big picture of the Bible that says that human life is a gift of God. Humans are made in the image of God, we know, throughout Scripture. And the punishment for murder in the Bible is harsh because it is an affront to the image of God to take innocent human life. Genesis 9:6, part of the Noahic covenant, before the law of Moses even, talks about this. Taking human life is an affront to God. And then we look forward to Jesus' love ethic, which was radical. We not only love one another, we also love our enemies. We don't even call people a fool, let alone hate them. We don't harm other people. And we certainly don't snuff out their very life. And no matter how modern people try to sanitize it and speak euphemistically about it, make no mistake, abortion is a terrible act of lethal violence against human life in the womb. That is what it is. There is no way to sugarcoat it. It's the destruction of human life. And finally, the biblical witness, the big picture thing. Is that all throughout the Bible, God calls His people to protect the weak and the vulnerable. Whether it's the poor and the oppressed in your land who don't have food, you farmers, you leave part of your field aside so they can have some sustenance. The people who are coming through your nation and they are foreigners, you protect them, you don't oppress them, they're vulnerable, they're weak, they're defenseless. Those orphans who don't have a dad or a mom, you protect them and you take care of them. That's what true religion is about, James 1:27 says. And there is no one more defenseless or vulnerable than the unborn child. Tenaciously clinging to the uterine lining for 9 months while she rapidly grows and develops for that moment when she is thrust into the wide world and takes her first breath. Until that time, she is completely 100% vulnerable. Can't run. Can't crawl. Can't hide from predators. She can't defend herself. Someone else must. And the Christian calling is to stand with the defenseless and support the weak. And it means that we will stand against abortion and do what we can to protect these youngest members of the human family. Brothers and sisters, people who are shaped by the biblical worldview and have submitted their minds and hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ have consistently through history come to the same conclusion about abortion. It is a moral evil, an affront to the dignity of human life and the majesty of God. And followers of Jesus can have no part in it and should help the world see the error of its way. So again, the moral question, I believe, is clear. And we in this day and age need to have absolute clarity about it. And the reason for that is that our medical technology, as it gets better and better, gives us an ability to know more and more about who that child will be. And this knowledge, like all scientific knowledge, can be used for good, to help heal, to help protect, or it can be used for wickedness. And so as people are able to look into the womb and see, oh, that's going to be a girl, and I don't really want a girl. I want a boy, and I only want one kid. The wickedness of the human heart will lead to destruction. Did you know that in some countries, like the UK, they're having to put in laws to not show the ultrasounds too early in the pregnancy because a lot of people are killing girls? Perfectly healthy baby, because they don't want a girl. When we lived in Canada, in British Columbia, they had law where they wouldn't tell you the sex of the baby until after the point at which it was not an option anymore to terminate the pregnancy. Why? Because so many immigrants from parts of the world that didn't want a girl baby would just get rid of it. This is what can happen with knowledge that's unhinged from moral compasses. The moral compass that the Bible provides. Sex selection will be an issue. What about when people find out that there's a chance that their child will have a medical condition like spina bifida or autism or mental retardation or Down syndrome or some other inconvenient thing? They may just choose to abort and just try again. We, as bearers of light, as the salt of the earth, must keep ourselves pure in our moral convictions on this issue and be the moral compass for the world that's lost sight of the value of human life. And it begins in the church, the city set on a hill, and it flows out to the rest of society as our painting points us toward. It begins here and flows out through our witness. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, the first reason we are standing with hope is because it helps people in crisis pregnancy situations make a God-honoring and the moral choice with regard to the unborn child. But some might say, well, why are we? Aren't there other ways that you could make this same stand or be salt and light? Why are we doing it through this particular ministry? And that's the second thing I want to talk about this morning, because we don't want to just leave here with just kind of a biblical stance against abortion, because that's not what Hope does. It does that. It tells the truth about abortion, but it also is a ministry that is broader than that and helps people in a multitude of ways. And that's one of the things that got the elders especially excited about Hope Pregnancy Clinic. We stand with Hope because it has a gospel-centered ministry philosophy. It is ministering to people out of the overflow of understanding who Jesus Christ is and what He does in their lives. The statement of purpose for the Hope Pregnancy Center is this, and you can see in it some of the ways that it ministers to people. Hope Pregnancy Clinic exists to uphold the sanctity of human life by providing an avenue for compassionate response from the pro-life community, to bring compassionate hope and practical help to those who are unprepared for pregnancy, to present abstinence as a positive and healthy option for singles, and to provide healing and restoration for those who have been hurt by abortion, and to share the love of Jesus Christ. Hope does these things, and I can summarize them in three different ways. First of all, hope shines the light on the unborn child, literally. One of the ways that Hope ministers to young women who come in there and wondering what to do is they help give them information, to give them truth about this child. Not a lie. Not the lie that it's not a human being. It's just like a wart to get rid of. No, they shine the light and help them understand this is the reality of the situation. And so they provide education. We went through the center and you go into this one room and there's charts over here and there's models that are easy to understand and are telling the truth about the unborn child and its developmental state. It's a very impressive educational program that they have. And the cornerstone of this ministry is a free ultrasound where a person can come in and actually see the child in the womb. Studies have shown that women who actually have an ultrasound and are able to see the child, who are considering abortion, when they see the child, the chances of them having an abortion just plummet. Because seeing is believing. It is hard to deny that is a child when you see it on an ultrasound. I know for me, when I saw a few of our kids on there, I wasn't sure. I had to have somebody tell me kind of what's what on there. But overall, you can tell it's a human being. And then the thing moves like this, and all of a sudden you see a face smiling back at you, and you realize this is a child. It's my child. Qualified medical professionals operate the ultrasound, and that's one of the expenses there, to have qualified folks on staff for this most important ministry. It also provides needed support for women in crisis. This is one of the things I love about the Hope Pregnancy Center. When people are in crisis pregnancy situations, they often feel trapped, and they feel like they don't have any other choice but to do this one thing, to get rid of this problem that has appeared in their life in the form of a pregnancy. And they often make quick and uninformed decisions about what to do. But the trained peer counselors at Hope provide guidance and support. Many of the folks that come in there are struggling with more than just pregnancy. They have drug addictions and alcohol addictions. They're in abusive relationships. They don't know how to have social relationships that are healthy. Some of them, they help with postpartum support, counseling for depression. They give them car seats and blankets and diapers and all these kinds of things as a follow-up to having a child. They connect them with churches for continuing support. And they also have a whole ministry designed to help women who are struggling with the guilt and regret from past abortions. You see, they don't just help people stop having abortions. They minister to people who are dealing with the hurt that comes from that past decision. And finally, Hope provides hope in Christ. They share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone who comes through the door, and this is an important part of their ministry. They share God's plan for their lives, that their life is not hopeless, that they are valuable, that they're not a piece of trash like their boyfriend may be telling them or whatever. They are made in God's image and valuable. And they also share God's offer of forgiveness and love and connect them with these churches that can point them in that direction as well. I especially want to make this point, in case anybody's wondering. Abortion is a sin, but God is in the business of forgiving sins. Even the sin of abortion is forgivable, and that is the message that is communicated loud and clear in Hope, and I hope from this place as well. This is not the unforgivable sin. It's something that God can forgive us of and wash us clean of and take away the guilt of that sin, even though regret may remain throughout your life. The guilt of your sin can be restored in Jesus Christ. And that is the message of the Hope Pregnancy Clinic. Brothers and sisters, we have a great ministry to partner with in Hope. And this morning, I want us to go out of here encouraged and excited about these baby bottles and what they represent. Come out of here strengthened in your resolve and understanding of the biblical position, the biblical point of view about abortion. And I don't know all of you in depth. I think I know most of you, but some of you, you may be kind of wondering why I'm picking on this issue today. Why are you getting into a political issue, Darren? But I would remind you, have I told you who to vote for? Have I told you how to take this moral conviction out into the public square in the legal system? I have not. Because that is a different question for a different time in a different place. We're focused now on the moral question that is clear from the Bible and from Christian teaching down through the ages, and that we need to get into our heart, and then we can wrestle with how we go and spread that out, and whether we use the legal processes or we don't, or we just use personal persuasion, or we use other things. That's a different topic. Right now we're focused on the question, the moral question that the Bible speaks clearly on. And so have your brothers and sisters who've borne witness for 2,000 years on this question. And so my prayer is that we will strengthen our resolve on that. But secondly, be thankful for Hope Pregnancy Center and support it. Obviously, this is a way to do that, a financial support. It takes money to operate those staffs, the staff there, and operate that facility. It's located on an awesome location where people are walking through there all the time. They get people just come right through the doors. And we want to make sure that through our support that those doors are able to be open all the time, as much as possible. Because again, it may be the difference between life and death. There are other ways to support Hope as well, through making blankets and other supplies and baby feed and, you know, donating things. There are other ways to be involved, and you can go to their website to see that. And also you can be involved in the prayer ministry. This is one of the things that impresses me about Hope a lot, and is that if you sign up for their prayer blast, whenever they minister to people, someone has come into the door and is wrestling with abortion, they will send out a prayer blast that's anonymous. They don't mention names. They don't get into details. But they say, pray for a young woman who's in a crisis. Her boyfriend just beat her up the other day, and he's pressuring her to have an abortion. Pray that we will be able to stand with her. And the church in this community gets on their knees and prays. That is a powerful way to be involved in this ministry. Not just whip out your checkbook, but to get on your knees and pray in these situations. And they come out, I would say, almost weekly. We get something from them. We had a heartbreaking email back in December. where the Hope Pregnancy Center sent out a prayer blast, and they said, we just sent out an email last week praying for this young lady who was very abortion-minded. We showed her the ultrasound, and she went through the abortion anyway. Pray for our staff as they struggle with this. Pray for the women here who wrestled with her as they try to minister to her now when she made this decision. Help them be able to minister to her. This is a very spiritual ministry at Hope. And I pray that we will be able to be involved with it. And then finally, brothers and sisters, the call to action is to spread the word. What I mean by that is, how can you be salt and light on this issue in your realms of influence? Your way simply might be to be able to give somebody a piece of paper that is from the Hope Pregnancy Center. We've got some out there on the table. When somebody at work confides in you that, oh, my girlfriend's pregnant, I think we're just going to go get rid of it. You have an opportunity right there to do something. Use hope as a resource. Say, you know, wow, that's a tough situation you guys are in. But have you thought about maybe all your options? Well, what are those? Well, I'm not really skilled at this, but I know a place that is. I know a place that will help you work through that thing and help you see what the options might be. That salt and light moment could be the difference in that child's life. In our life group recently, we were praying for a couple that a situation very similar to that took place. And someone in our life group that had an interaction with this person, a coworker, pointed them toward Hope. And it was interesting that about a week or two later, there was an email that came out that sounded very much like that situation. We don't know for sure. Obviously, it's all anonymous. But it sounds like that they did go there and they chose life. It could be that that was one example of holding forth this resource as a way to make a difference and to be salt and light in our community. So, brothers and sisters, this is why we're standing with Hope. And I pray that we will stand with them for a long time, and that we will stand with them firmly, and we will not just be one of those churches that gives the requisite amount, but goes over and above what they even expect to make a difference on this issue in our community. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Hope Pregnancy Clinic. I thank you for the dedicated staff. I thank you for the women who work there and who come alongside those in crisis pregnancy. I thank you for the fact that they share their stories of brokenness and past difficulties, and they're able to minister to those young women who come through there in a difficult time in their life. And I pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless that ministry, and that we as the Kaiser Church will be a powerful partner with them, that we will help them do your will in this community and make a difference for life. Help us, Lord, as we wrestle with things in our own situations. We may know friends, neighbors, relatives, children, grandchildren, who may need to hear the truth on this question. And may we have boldness and courage to share with them the truth of the gospel about the value of human life. May we not be silent. May we be open with the conviction and the truth from your word in a loving and compassionate way that shows the hope of the gospel. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen.